Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Damashek. What's going down? I hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to the Dave Damashek football program. Available as always on iTunes, Stitcher, NFL.com, and now NFL Now. We have much football to discuss. The main event on this episode of the Dave Damashek football program. No offense to the man seated to my immediate left, but Ross Tucker, our old pal from the Ross Tucker Football Podcast and a bevy of other podcasts, will be joining us on the flat screen via Skype in just a few minutes here, so we'll have a good time catching up with him on the start of Hard Knocks and all that else, all else going on in pro football as the regular season kickoff draws nigh. In the meantime, let's say hello to the man seated to my immediate left all the way from London, England. Now he serves as our resident Miami Dolphins fan. It's Handsome Hank.
He's Handsome Hank. He's Handsome Hank. He's Handsome Hank.
Nice. I like that new move of yours. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Now, you got to watch the video if you're listening on the podcast and it's audio only. Good for you. We hope you'll continue to listen that way. I do wish, though, to promote and ask and, nay, demand that you, starting next Tuesday, really tune in NFL Now, NFL.com, track it down, the Dave Damashek football program. Full episodes in video will be available at minimum Tuesdays and Thursdays. You know, I go the extra mile, though, Handsome. I'd like to go one step further, or in fact, three steps further. I'd like it to be all week.
What's wrong with Sunday? Why wouldn't you go even further?
I'd like to do that, too. In fact, I could sleep under this desk for 6 hours at a time. Otherwise, nothing but football talk.
Right. Maurice Jones-Drew, in fact, offered us a sofa we could put in here as well.
True enough.
You could sleep on that.
Well, like I say, we have a lot to get to. I'm going to tell you who is going to the Hall of Fame, not in 2016, but in 2028. It's amateur hour to guess next year. I go way into the future to tell you. Also, NFC West, our final ifs segment. We're getting to what's been the best division in the NFL over the last couple of seasons. So Handsome and I will break that down. And like I already mentioned, Ross Tucker. But first, the big news before we dig on Hard Knocks, I found this even more fascinating. Handsome Hank. Some real drama. If you've been listening to the show over the last, I don't know, year or two, like any father who enjoys pigskin, you want your progeny to root like you.
Yeah.
I've said to my children, I've said to root for whoever you want to in baseball, hockey. I can't will you to like my teams that play 4,000 miles away. Save one. You'll root for the Steelers or you'll not watch football
exactly.
In this home. I don't care what LA team is. Anyway, you are a Dolphins fan, as I mentioned already. Your little boy, though, reluctant, five-year-old, right?
That's right. He in fact, has been trolling me, I think is probably the word for it. I'm a Dolphins fan. He pretended he wanted to be a Jets fan.
Yeah, that was pretty grim.
That was a bad moment. Last year, I took him. I have a friend of mine who was coaching with the Cowboys. We went to Cowboys training camp. Then he fell in love with the Cowboys, and at least that had there was a good reason behind it. But yesterday morning, he's off to school for the first time this year, you know, big moment. And he announced that he would like a Miami Dolphins backpack.
I mean, exhilarating.
And I feel like that is a moment. I mean, first of all, he may get bullied, but I'm going to put that aside. That's a moment that, to me, means that, yes, he is my, now I can accept him as a son.
Well, but it's interesting because there's another layer. Your friend, who is affiliated with the Dallas Cowboys, has offered a return trip invite.
So I wanted to get your advice. Should I take him back to the Cowboys training camp at some point over the next couple of weeks, or will that actually ruin the whole Dolphins backpack?
This is heavy stuff, Handsome.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, listen. He's a little kid.
Yep.
So I think you can prey upon what he doesn't know. He's naive. And maybe if he hears this podcast in 15 or 20 years, he'll come to resent you and maybe me as well. But I don't think you can take him. You're just opening Pandora's box.
Yeah.
You're going to show a five-year-old boy that shiny star on the side of a hat. You know he's going to like it. He liked it a year ago.
It's true. Thank you for your advice.
I think you got to keep him away.
Keep him away from the Cowboys.
Yeah, you don't want those shiny objects, that star meeting. What if he glad hands with Romo? Romo.
Exactly, that would be the end of things.
My formal advice is keep him away from Cowboys. Go by yourself.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you for the parenting advice.
I hope that helps. Yeah, it's bad parenting, but it's good football fandom
advice
is what trumps good parenting advice. So, all right, so there's that. And now the other big story of the week, along with Handsome Hank's his progeny's change from the Cowboys and Jets to Handsome's beloved Dolphins, the Tom Brady business is going on. Mm. And I mean, I'm not trying to be a corporate shill or anything else. I can tell you honestly, I don't care. And I don't think most people – I think most people are just – tell us how it ends up already. Enough's enough. We can weigh in on what we think this way or that way. I think most people outside of the Massachusetts area are kind of
right.
Like, just let
just
us know how
let
it
this
works.
Be over.
And by the way, to Patriots fans out there, the good news is you're going to go 3-1 anyway. You know Belichick's going to wind up. He might sign me, and if he plays me, I'll get 3-1. Meantime, the story that dominated social media this week was that Tom Brady sketch. Did you get a look
I
at
did,
that handle?
And actually, that was the there it is. The best thing about it is this thing, as you say, everyone wanted it to be over, and it's been a tremendously dry legal thing. All of a sudden, we were gifted this wonderful image of Tom Brady, which looks
it was wonderful.
Almost nothing like a human being, let alone a handsome human being like Tom Brady. And finally, the Deflategate scandal has given us something that we actually are interested in.
We can really relish. Mm-hmm. To me, it looks like zombie Vince Vaughn. And some listeners were good enough to tweet me after I observed that. They tweeted me. You can look at Damashek and see their fine work, the listener artwork. By the way, Black Tie Behind the Glass, that's a good recurring thing. Send us any of your artwork that you'd like to. And by the way, if you want to weigh in on Handsome Hank's moral conundrum.
Please let me know.
# Handsome Hank. I don't know. Weigh in on that one as well. Is it the right thing to keep him away from Cowboys camp? The other thing is, though, that everybody's beating up the illustrator for the Brady work, but maybe I'm glass half full, but I commend her for the spot-on Gilbert Gottfried picture she did there. That's exactly like Gilbert.
That is
Gottfried.
Good. The thing
I don't know why Gilbert was there.
The thing that and there are some NFL writers in the background who probably aren't that thrilled with their image. What it does get to the point of like in whatever year we're in. What is it? 2015.
15. Yeah.
Why do we still need? Why can't we just get to with the camera thing? Like, I get that this was a thing that had to be done many years ago because the cameras didn't exist, and then there was a time where cameras did exist, but maybe they didn't want to. But this is just ridiculous at this point, especially with amateur artists like
it
this.
It does seem like an outmoded way to deliver images from inside. All right.
That's my takeaway.
Next up, let's talk about Hard Knocks. And let's talk J.J. Watt, but to me, mm-hmm. Bill O'Brien's opening business was just the greatest. And you watch the first 45 seconds, him F-bombing it up, trying, hey, we're nothing. The Texans, nobody cares about us. Nobody talks about us. I declared watching that, I guess the Texans are going to win the next seven Super Bowls. But maybe there's diminishing returns there. The thing that people apparently have an endless appetite for, though, J.J. Watt, and he has an endless appetite for practicing.
Yes.
What do you make of all this, Handsome? I know you're a bit cynical.
I am a cynic when it comes to these type of players who get overexposed every year. Off the top of my head, over the last few years, I think Victor Cruz was one. I think Russell Wilson definitely was that guy. I think the Manning brothers have clearly been that. Aaron Rodgers with his discount double check. Drew Brees is constantly taking medicine to help him not snore and sleep and that
kind
of thing.
Flo from Progressive.
Yeah, she's a pain as well. With most of those guys, I get the feeling by the end that there's something pretty empty about everything that they do, and they're overexposed to some extent. J.J. Watt's clearly headed that direction. He was last year. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt for now, but there were certain people, and I think around the NFL's Dan Hansis was among them, who believed that there was something of J.J. Watt doing this for the cameras only.
What? I mean, this cynicism. All right, maybe, I don't know, maybe the Texans PR department is latching on to what's clearly their best player in franchise history, and I get where they're coming from. It makes sense for them to do it. But we just saw the video there, J.J. Watt running around, and if you didn't see Hard Knocks, he was working out. That was actually him at 9 o'clock at night.
And that's why I'm going to give him the benefit. The other guys,
signing the autographs.
I hope Black Tie's blocking his ears. I hope Black Tie's blocking his ears. Because Russell Wilson, I everything he does, I'm afraid I put a question mark next to it. But J.J. Watt, just because of who he is and what he's done, and the fact that, of course, I mean, you don't get to be that good without working out until 10 o'clock at night. And then 10 that he walked over, and they had a timeline on there, so they said it was 9:40 when he finished working out. He was still signing autographs 30 minutes later.
I thought that was terrific stuff. There's nothing fraudulent about any of that. Also, the thing that I don't know, because I've never tried to lift any tire in my life, let alone the giant. What tire is that for? That's not for a truck.
It's for a tractor.
For like a big giant, heavy tractor.
But I also looked at it and thought, I reckon I could.
I
do
felt
that.
The same way. I want to get one of those tires.
Can we get one of those in here and maybe like you, me, Ike, and MJD do it as a physical challenge?
I love this idea. Let's see if
I don't know where you get one of those tires.
How
from.
Many of us? How many schnooks does it take to lift that giant tractor tire? That's a good one. Maybe we need a Bill O'Brien inspirational speech. Now, we'll talk to Ross Tucker in a little bit. I talked to him earlier in the week on his podcast about this issue. The diminishing returns of these inspirational speeches for grown men. I mean, it's not like they shouldn't need at least a Vince Lombardi speech. I love Bill O'Brien's speech at the top, like I say, but as the episode wore on, it's like, all right, already. Stop swearing at me all the time.
Yeah, I'm a sucker for movie sports speeches.
Yes.
Friday Night Lights, Any Given Sunday, all those type of things. I love them. If you did that to me four times a day, it would get old very quickly. My belief is that NFL players have a huge appetite for this, and that's something that separates them from you or I. Because I would just, in the end, I'd be like, all right, fine, the world hates us, and it's absolutely, but like, I don't even care at this
point. Yeah, the whole world, no one
Tuesday
believes in us.
I've been
Can I go
this
eat?
Seven times, exactly. But I think the difference is that NFL players are like, yes! They don't like us. They don't love us. And I want to prove that to be wrong. So we'll see.
Well, as I've said, now we're 27 years in running. No team in professional sports, any professional sport, has won a championship without, at the end of the championship, saying no one outside
no
this
one
locker
believed
room
us.
Believed in us.
Even though there were thousands of fans in the stadium, literally, who are, and as we know, fans are completely blindly loyal to people. And they'll say about the Jags, they're going to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, hey, Patriots and Yankees fans, I think some people out there thought might get it done. And defending champion Seahawks people believed in
People believed in you.
All right, next thing, talk about fiery coaches and so on and so forth. Before we get to Rex Ryan and his little, which I love, by the way, with signing the guy who played
it was inevitable, wasn't it?
By the way, great podcast earlier in the week. You mentioned MJD and Ike Taylor. They joined Handsome and I here in studio, and they will all through the season. And we kibitzed about the Geno Smith thing, and there's some really interesting insights from a player's point of view on who punches a quarterback and what would lead to a quarterback being involved in something like that. But what do you think about, speaking of a training camp, Pete, at least this is guys on different teams doing this. Both guys, though, D.E., D'Angelo Hall, a little cross with.
Isn't that D.H.?
No, D'Angelo.
Oh, I see.
D.E. Versus DeAndre.
I see.
You know, I felt that was unfortunate that they would be cross with one another.
Yeah.
Hopkins prominently featured, though, and I guess D'Angelo Hall didn't like that, the scrimmage video that made Hard Knocks. In fact, show us, Black Tie, what he tweeted on Thursday. He says, I can't read that from here, Black Tie. Why don't you read that for me?
All right, here's the tweet. It says, this is D'Angelo's tweet. He goes, when the highlight of your career is catching a 10-yard pass on a DB while he slips and you feel like you did something. Hashtag sad day in football. To which
that's good. That's
D'Angelo
good
felt,
talk.
It is.
That
kinda.
Is good. That's good Twitter trash talk.
Yeah,
I would say.
And then DeAndre Hopkins responded, and then he said, "Hope treatment going well."
I see. I think that's way better. I think D'Angelo Halls was a good, you know, basic kind of dig at somebody, but this was good. Get help.
Yeah.
Seek help. You have mental problems.
I feel like the Redskins, like their training camp base was pretty dilapidated and not particularly attractive, but also their trash talk, which you heard during the thing, was very basic. It was very like, I'm going to swear at you, basically.
Yeah, well, that's what I think you and I are really going to benefit from Ike Taylor's tutorials as the season wears on. He's already given us some tips on trash talk.
I disagree. I think we are going to be able to help him with trash talk off the field and in the workplace.
You know what?
I think it'll be mutually beneficial.
Quid pro quo.
Yes.
That's good. Quid pro football quo. I don't know. We'll work on what we'll call this. Ding, ding. We did it. Now, ding, ding sounds like a fight, so let's talk about that fight real quick. Or I guess the aftermath of that is before we started the show, Black Tie behind the glass, the producer. Where are you from, Black Tie?
You what? Don't know this?
No, I know where you're from. I'm just making sure you know.
I know where I'm from. I'm a dual citizen, American and Nigerian. Nigerian.
All right,
family.
Nigeria is the answer I was looking for. You've lived a part of your life in Nigeria.
That is correct.
And you are Nigerian.
Raised. Yes.
Right. And yet, when I said, so I can't believe that Rex Ryan has signed this guy, Black Tie, I said, what's his name again? IK, how do you say his name? What did you say, Black Tie?
I was having issues saying his name. I mean, just because we're Nigerian doesn't mean we're all from the same tribe and culture. He's from a different tribe than I'm from. So here's I had issues saying his name, but his name is IK Enumpali. That's his name.
I have a feeling that there's some history between these guys, and he actually bullied Black Tie as well.
I can't say his name?
IK can't bring himself to say his name.
Well, I can't say it very well, apparently. Enumpali. You know what? You can't read it, because that K is what trips you up in it.
The K is silent.
Yeah. IK.
Is that right?
No, it's not. IK Enumpali.
Black Tie,
that K is
you'll be
silent. You
you'll be surprised to learn that Black Tie's real name is not Black Tie, but he calls himself. I like that you did the same move as IK did. You instead of Tunde, you went with TD to Americanize your name, sort of like IK.
Cool story. Can we get back to the show, guys?
What a creep! Yeah. Black Tie doesn't like being exposed. I will say, I love one of my longstanding things is I love heat. I don't like the glad handing. Call me a child. I don't like the players shaking hands with each other and hugging each other and all that if they're on different teams. I love D'Angelo and DeAndre going at each other, and I love Rex Ryan the day after Geno Smith gets his jaw broke and goes out and signs that very
But guy. You're not – I mean, I know you love heat, but not to the extent that you like your defensive players punching your quarterback.
No, indeed. I'm not advocating broken jaws or anything like that, but I do like that Rex Ryan went and signed this guy.
I mean, of course, it was either going to be him or Belichick. And of course, he did. Good for him.
I mean, but it's funny, though, right?
It's very funny.
It adds a new layer of heat to the whole thing.
And I think the Bills don't play the Jets, if I'm right, until like week 10, by which time Geno will be back. And let's assume that IK makes the team because Rex will make sure that happens. There's a good opportunity for them to meet again on the field.
Just out of spite, yeah. Just out of spite, he can't cut him now. All right, so let's jump now to the NFC West ifs, like I said already, the Seattle Seahawks, I think pretty tough to argue against that they've been the best team in football over the last 3 years or so. So let's start with them. Handsome, you know how it works here. I'm going to ask you the big if for each of the four teams in the NFC West, what their path is to a division crown. Of course, the Seahawks are heavily favored to do it. So we'll start there. The Seattle Seahawks will win the 2015 NFC West if...
Well, it sounds to me like the Seahawks are transforming from a running team into a passing team, obviously with Jimmy Graham showing up there, some pretty good receivers. So I think they win if that transition actually works out and Russell Wilson can become that type of quarterback. Now, the one issue, of course, for Russell Wilson is that he seemed frustrated during the offseason for some reason. He has a new girlfriend, and perhaps they haven't taken their relationship as far as he might like to.
Early stages of love, yeah.
Well, yeah, I think that might be – that is about as far as – is that first base?
I don't think that counts as first base.
But I think that might be as far as he's taken it this far. And like week 8, 9, 10, he may be exploding with passion for
That's like the on-deck circle. Well, it's interesting because the old school guys, at least in movies when I was growing up there, the coach always said, no women. It takes you away. So maybe Russell Wilson's going old school.
I don't think deflated balls will be an issue.
Oh, handsome. Naughty, naughty. Look at that. It's the rapier British wit there. Yeah, listen. I agree with where you started. I don't know if this is going to work out. I've talked to a lot of people who know better than I about offensive line play, and they say Max Unger is as good as it gets. And, you know, it's fascinating, too, as far as I'm concerned, that Michael Robinson, late of the Seattle Seahawks, now our colleague, when we kibitzed with him last week about the Seahawks, said that Cable is the MVP. That line isn't really that good, and he really got them on track, and, you know, he's what really coached those guys up to spring Marshawn Lynch and all that sort of thing. Well, he's got a big task this time with Jimmy Graham, who's never been known as a blocker, really. He's an oversized, glorified wide receiver. We know that. So is he going to be able to make that transition? Meantime, Unger's their best offensive lineman, and now he's in New Orleans. This is not a small thing. So I agree that the if is obviously, can they handle the philosophical pivot here now of being just kill you on the ground all day and then have Russell Wilson make a couple of key throws in the fourth? Can they handle
that? And the defense still has to play up to – I mean, what we're saying here,
I can't imagine that
we have to expect that the defense is going to do exactly what it's done for the last 2-3 years.
And Cam Chancellor being – in, you know, not in camp right now is a minor concern, but boy, they did a great job obviously locking up the pieces of that defense that matter most there. So aside from Cam at this point, but I imagine they'll get that done and they'll dominate. In fact, this is really hard to conjure much of an argument for another team in this division, save next up the Arizona Cardinals, who really took a good run at the Seahawks in 2014, at least until Carson Palmer got hurt. The Cardinals will win the 2015 division if.
Well, you've said all the way through we've been doing these ifs that I can't say unless the quarterback gets injured. But I think in this case it's actually legitimate to bring this up. Carson Palmer is not known as a guy who stays healthy for an entire season. And we saw last year that the Cardinals were on track to have a very good season. Palmer goes down. They've got a rotation of nobody's playing quarterback. And then their season turns to dust. So my if for this time around is I'm actually going to go against your rule. Carson Palmer needs to stay healthy for 16 or
fair enough
more games.
Right. I think every football fan, not just Arizona Cardinals fans, are still haunted by the visage of Ryan Lindley being out there. Unfortunately, the bugaboo for all football fans outside of New England too is Ryan Lindley could go in there and play the whole season and he'd go 11-5 for the Patriots. Somehow Belichick would work some voodoo and that's how it would go. Meantime, by the way, as a side note, when the Cardinals came up, their red jerseys were still a little bit lighter than your face was after you made that crack about Russell Wilson. You're so pleased and gleeful with yourself that you got beat red.
But also embarrassed by the fact that I thought about it.
I enjoyed it. Well, listen.
I bet Black Tie's taking it out of the podcast anyway, so.
No, I mean Russell's my guy, but we all know I have issues with this whole Seattle thing right now.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Are you off the Russell Wilson bandwagon?
No, he's still my quarterback. I just have issues with how, like, he's so into it. He needs to slow his roll. But real quick, back to the Cardinals. Though.
No, that's not what he needs. That's the opposite of what Hans said. He doesn't need to slow his roll. he needs to pick it up.
Yeah.
All right. Back to the Cardinals. Another one of my boys, Patrick Peterson. He needs to step up this year. All right? He's my boy, but he needs to step up this year. He has all the athletic gifts in the world, but he needs to be consistent. And I think – definitely, if he does that, then he can take away his side of the field and maybe both sides of the field, and then he will be a legit lockdown, shot down corner.
Well, he probably can't take away both sides of the field.
That would be difficult. Asking a lot.
I know, but he was touted as like the next Deion. He wears number 21, all that stuff, and he needs to really step up. He has all the tools. He can make it happen. He just needs to be focused.
I'll tell you what. I kind of agree with that he – well, it's just that I hear what you're saying, that he does – there are plays where he doesn't look terrific, but he happens to be in the right division at least. He doesn't have to – there's not a single really high-end wide receiver in the whole division, but nonetheless, I agree with you. I think that was a humiliation. Do you remember the game? Do we have that play, in fact, from Sunday Night Football last – what was that, December, when he goes to tackle Marshawn Lynch, and Marshawn Lynch sheds him as though he was a French fry that he found in his lap and threw it away. All right, let's move on. But, and the other thing I'll say about the Cardinals is Todd Bowles, you know, the departure of a guy who, as much credit as Bruce Arians rightly gets for going there and turning that team around, Bowles on the defensive side lost so many pieces last year, and the defense was among the very best in the NFL. And they, in fact, stayed relevant even after they lost not one but two QBs. And so Bowles gets a lot of credit. Problem is, obviously, now he's up in New York coaching that team. How do they deal with that? How do they deal with some losses? Darnell Dockett big in that locker room. And they still don't have a running game. They have the offensive line now, but who's going to run the ball? That's been the pattern to succeed in the NFC West over the last few years, and it's time for Ellington or someone to get off.
Because if they don't, a team like the Rams could overtake them and move up the division.
Oh, nice transition. Let's talk about that team right now. The future LA Rams, I don't know, but present, they will win the 2015 NFC West if.
I think they have to get a lot better on offense. Their defense has been very good. They've brought in Todd Gurley in the draft. I know you're a massive fan of his. But also those receivers, they've invested a lot in sort of receivers who, by coincidence, are all 5 foot six and under for some reason. So those guys have to, all of them have this explosive playmaking ability. They actually have to do it consistently because you can't just be like a guy who does it once on special teams in week one and once in week 14 on offense.
Tavon Austin.
They've got to get some consistency.
Right. Whatever dynamite highlight reel plays, right. I don't think it has made since he got there. Tavon Austin, I don't think anybody would consider him anything other than a bust at this point.
Yeah, he goes missing for five or six games at a time.
It's interesting. I'd love to talk to a Daniel Jeremiah or somebody like that about that sense of when, like, a name gets hot around. I mean, that was the Tavon Austin thing happened in about a 48-hour period where it was Tavon Austin's moving up the board, and he was a borderline first-round pick. It felt like the week of that draft. And by draft day, it was like, he might go first overall. No, but it was
all those guys have in common is that they're always very fast players. It's always guys who are incredibly fast, and people are like, oh, we've got to get that speed on our team. And it's like, okay, great.
Well, here's what I will say about the Rams. And I have my doubts about Jeff Fisher. You know, talk about a guy who Black Tie mentions Patrick Peterson when the hype train gets rolling. Jeff Fisher, to some degree, a lot of hype around how great he is. But if you look at what he's done over the last decade, he really hasn't had much success. Yeah, that's exactly right. Now, the thing that I think really changes the look of this team in a big way, potentially, is Todd Gurley. He, to me, and this will sound like hyperbole, but is one of the 5 to 7 best college running backs I've ever watched in my life. Yep. And, you know, I've been watching college football since Tony Dorsett played for Pitt. Herschel Walker would be in there, another Georgia runner. But this guy, the biggest guy on the field, not unlike Marcus Dupree, if you remember watching him back at Oklahoma, he was the biggest guy on the field most times and the fastest. He would run over guys. He'd run around guys. He is going to be, if his knee gets right, dynamite. The problem is now they're already saying he might miss the start of the season here.
It sounds like he's not going to be there in week one.
But I will say that the model that they have put together here seems to mirror exactly what the Seahawks, the division bully, have done. They now have the Rams could have the best defense in the NFL. They are so loaded on that side, kind of like the Seahawks are. And Tavon Austin kind of equals Percy Harvin, doesn't he? You know, even if he doesn't make plays, you have to account for him on the field at all times because of that speed. And now they have the guy in Todd Gurley who can bang you like Marshawn Lynch can. I think, and, you know, a fine quarterback, a capable quarterback now under center, they could be really good.
I think they also drafted like 7 offensive linemen, and they really don't have that set. And that's the difference between the Seahawks when they were good, or as they are good, and the Rams right now.
But that would be the best team. If my vote counts, Kamish Goodell, I vote for the Rams. I want an NFC team so I can still root for the Steelers without any problem. And I like I like the pieces they have. That'd be fun. Let's round it out here. We have this every division. Whoever we think is going to be in the bottom, we make our jokes. I don't think this one's that crazy, although I think my guess is that the 49ers are among the worst teams in the NFL this year. But you can make a case that they could, you know, rise up and really be terrific if.
Well, they got a new head coach I'm a big fan of.
I know you like Jimmy
T. Tom Sula. They've got a new offensive and defensive coordinator, both of whom haven't really had any success when they've been doing those jobs. They've lost a bunch. I mean, I do think it's going to take a miracle, but I think that all of them are teachers, and I think that the Harbaugh era in San Francisco clearly had some, you know, issues with it, and players had got tired of it. It might be, and this is the if this sort of breath of fresh air comes into the building, and Tom Sula is that type of guy who was beloved by the defensive players, and he can bring that to the team, and they are freer than they've ever been before. Maybe it sounds more like a sports movie than anything else, but maybe that's the thing that gets that team off the ground. And
well, this is what's crazy, and it's old news, but it really does bear visual repeat here. And so look at that board. I mean, is there a worse offseason in sports history?
It's tough.
Sports history. Those names, who's playing defense in 2015 for this team? There are two guys that played in the Super Bowl, I believe, is what I've heard from that Super Bowl team, now still playing on the roster, even in free agency. Why did everybody ran away? Did they all love Harbaugh? They wanted to retire? I don't know what, but that's a mess.
Who built that graphic, by the way, Black Tie?
or a team. Why?
Why is Jim Harbaugh's like the seventh name on the list?
I didn't even notice. Was he just
he
in
was
there?
In the middle and fired.
Yeah, he had a rough last season.
You should speak to whoever had that built that graphic and maybe make them the seventh name in the list as well, if you know what I mean.
Was he fired technically? I thought he left.
Well, yeah, it was apparently mutual.
Mutual deal.
A little bit like the guy from Coldplay and Gwyneth Paltrow.
Is that what it is comparable to that?
Yes.
But the one thing I will say with the 49ers is, of course, the wild card here is the fella Colin Kaepernick under center, who everybody flipped for a couple years ago, including the coaching staff. Everybody remembers Alex Smith winning. Well, we're going to take it to another level because this guy is that good. It's time for him to do it, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, obviously.
But also, I think Harbaugh, as a quarterback himself and as a guy, you know, quarterback guru, tried to turn Colin Kaepernick into a drop back passer. And that's what I mean by the sort of freedom that Tom Sula may bring is let Colin Kaepernick do what he does well. You remember that first game?
Yeah.
I think it was against the Jets. They brought him in and he was running around and whatever and terrorizing people. Let him do what he's good at rather than say, okay, I want you to be a three-step, fire it out. And, you know, he's not an accurate enough quarterback to be able to do that.
I agree with you completely. I would say, hey, here's what you do, Colin Kaepernick, in the month of August 2015, if I'm Jimmy T. I'm going to give you the Packers game in Candlestick in the playoffs. Watch that game. Then watch the game you played in Lambeau and beat the Packers in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And here's the Super Bowl when you rallied the team. Just do that again.
Yeah.
I mean,
it sounds simple, but why would you try and turn him into something that is not his strength?
Yeah, well, and the one thing they do have some pass catchers there, Reggie Bush, Carlos Hyde. They have good skill guys
Vernon
out there.
Vernon Davis is a favorite of yours, I believe.
I love him. I'm waiting for him to turn the corner, too. All right, Handsome Hank, I know you have to go, which is sad because Ross Tucker's coming up in just a second. You're the one who made the introduction a couple of years ago.
I did, yeah. Send him my best.
Any message you'd like for me to give to him?
I know this is one of his favorite times of year.
Preseason?
Yep.
Why do you have something you'd like to pass along to him?
I know that he got a lot more playing time during the preseason than he did during the regular season. I prefer you didn't say that to him, though.
All right. I probably will avoid doing that because I wouldn't want to make
it uncomfortable. Yeah, don't make it awkward between us.
Dave. Dave.
All right. It's time for the main event, part two, the Home and Home series that started on Monday this week on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, continues now on the Dave Damashek Football Podcast. Make sure you check out all of my main man Tucker's many podcasts. He just started the new one, College Draft, Dynamite Stuff, The Fantasy Feast. There's another one that gauges how much teams are going to win by. I think you know what I'm getting at. It's Ross Tucker. What's the poop? Come here, you handsome devil. Give me a kiss. See? We're comfortable with our feelings. We're secure with who we are. Tucker, what's the poop, man? You excited? It's football season.
Yeah, man. Preseason games, actual live action. How can you not be excited? This is what it's all about.
Yeah, well, I guess so. I saw you tweeting about that the other day, that you love the preseason and I don't care who knows about it. I love watching football, pro and college. The preseason, though, what's exciting about this? All I do when I watch it is just hope my guys don't get hurt.
Well, I think that's because you and I are coming at it from two very different perspectives, right? I mean, you're a fan, so the last thing you want is for, I don't know, something crazy like your kicker to get hurt in the third quarter of the Hall of Fame game. And maybe stop the Steelers from winning the Super Bowl this year. But who
That's
knows?
Not jive, Tucker. That's going to cost them a game, this Garrett Hartley. He doesn't make field goals in that 30 to 39-yard range. That's going to cost him a game with the extra points.
There's no question about it. And honestly, people thought I was joking when I talked about the butterfly effect. But the butterfly effect is you only have one kicker on your roster. So Swisham has to take the second half kickoffs with an entire kickoff team made up of probably 80% of guys who are practice squad at best. Somebody didn't do their job, didn't stay in their lane. As a result, Swisham got involved in the tackle, tore his ACL, and now that could be the difference in December at Heinz Field, whether or not the Steelers win a game. Is that the difference when they win the division or not? Is that home field advantage or not? Or maybe it even happens in the playoffs in January. There's a reason why Swisham got a contract extension and Garrett Hartley was on the street. I know some people think, oh, you can just get any kicker. Tell the Colts that. Tell the Patriots that. They don't want just any kicker. They want that the guy that they have. But the reason why I love preseason games, that's my little butterfly.
That was a – you know what? You're a pro the way you transitioned there. Yeah, you're bumming me out with this. I agree. It's dire. I really don't like this injury to Sweetsham. But, all right, give me something to feel good about with the preseason. Like I say, how can you enjoy this? I don't understand how guys who get paid the way you do, especially in 2015 – want to go and spend a month of their lives sweating it up out there, living in a dorm room, all that hokum.
So, do you like America, Shaq?
I'm a fan, yes.
Okay, so then I'm assuming you like, you know, the whole American dream, hopes, dreams, goals. When you watch preseason football, you are getting a chance to see literally dozens of guys every game with basically their only opportunity at their lifelong dream and everything they've been hoping to accomplish since they were 5 years old. And I love watching that. I love seeing guys rise to the occasion. I don't love when guys falter, but unfortunately, that's part of it as well. This, to me, is the essence of the league from my perspective. It's not a fan's perspective, but as a guy that was a journeyman for five teams over 7 years, every one of those preseason games was vitally important for me to either secure the starting job or get a roster spot, and I watch it as such, and I love watching guys knowing how much it really means to them.
That's awesome. I like that perspective, as a matter of fact, and your old pal Handsome Hank had to run. He couldn't catch up with you once again, but he did leave a parting shot for you. He said, "Of course Ross Tucker enjoys the preseason. That's the only time he was allowed to play."
Oh, Handsome Hank, that's rough, man. I think I played in 45 games, started 25. I'll take it. Remind me to ask Handsome Hank who he played for.
Exactly. Listen, that leads us neatly then into maybe what might happen the next time you see him. We saw it with Geno Smith and IKE. I'm just going to call him that from now on. And by the way, I just love Rex Ryan going out and signing him the next day. But what gives with these with the training camp fights and QBs getting involved? Is this more than usual?
Well, I don't know that it's more than usual, but I'm not familiar with quarterbacks getting involved like this. That is a different thing. I mean, Cam Newton. So part of me, Sheck, loves it, right? That's kind of what training camp's about. You know, it's not about the money. It's about the competition and guys being
Look,
intense.
You're getting all lathered up just thinking about it. Look at that.
Yeah, getting upset, getting all fired up, all those different things. But if you're Cam Newton, it's not real bright. I think we know that for him to get involved. I like that he cares that much. I like that it bothered him that much. The Geno Smith thing is a totally different situation. Totally different situation. And I can tell you, Shaq, I was in at least a dozen football fights in my life. And I can honestly say, to my knowledge, I don't ever remember throwing the first punch. What happens is it's training camp. I'm trying to make the team. So I am pushing to the limit, to the whistle, every single play of practice. And at some point, other guys are going to get annoyed. They don't like that last shove from me. They don't like that I'm finishing the play. It bothers them. There you go. And then one guy will swing back at me, and then I'm going to fight back at him. It happens. So I don't feel like I ever started a fight. I felt like I just finished plays. I will tell you one, though, story. One time in 02, I got in a fight with LeVar Arrington. This is October, check. Mm-hmm. This is a game week. But I knew I was on thin ice because I had played poorly on a Monday night against the Eagles, and LeVar didn't like how hard I was practicing. He kept saying stuff to me about it. I said, "LeVar, I don't care. I have to do this. Like, I got plenty of – I don't care how you feel about me." Mm-hmm. So before the play, I knew what was going to happen. And he came off the edge, and as soon as I went out and blocked him, he just started swinging haymakers. And honestly, I had him, Shaq, and I was giving him the business in the head and in the gut. I thought I was getting the better of it. The next thing I know, he took my helmet and got it off. So as I was punching him, he got my helmet off, and he swung my helmet at my head.
Yeesh!
It was the scariest thing ever. Then they break up the fight. They pin our arms to our side. You know, they grab you from behind. They pin your arms. While my arms are pinned, LeVar gets his right arm out one last time and gives me a right hook to the side of my head. And totally, it felt like it caved in my head.
I don't know why I'm laughing. This seems like bad etiquette. Isn't there some etiquette to these fights?
Well, the etiquette's supposed to be you don't swing a helmet at somebody.
especially really his own.
Try to hit him. You're really not supposed to try to hit him when the helmet's off. But anyway, I'm out for one play. My offensive line coach sends me back in there. I've got blood coming down the whole time out of my ear. I didn't know where it was coming from. Soon as practice is over. So there's another hour and a half of practice. I go in. They put four stitches up here because they split open my ear at the top. And I had to get my right hand x-rayed because they thought I might have broken my hand punching his helmet like an idiot.
Well, you know, LeVar Arrington works here at NFL Media. I might have to take this up with him and get his side of this story. This is, I don't think – I'm a man of justice. I don't know that I can just let this die on the vine. I might have to see what he thinks about this. All right. Now, speaking of which, NFL Media is here in Los Angeles, and so, too, apparently will be an NFL team. You know, let me say this at the outset. I've said this before. I'll say it again now. The thing, you know, whether it'll be the Rams, Raiders, Chargers, or some combination of the three, this is a hokum that no one in Los Angeles cares because there's too much else to do out here. Everybody, the thing goes that everybody's off surfing. Listen, I've lived here for 15 years. The closest I've ever come to surfing is watching Point Break for the 28th time on a DVD. Everybody's going to go crazy. What are your thoughts about L.A. and football? I mean, it's got to be, right?
Well, now listen, Shaq. When I talk to my friends that live out there, one's a Bears fan, one's a Lions fan, one's a Redskins fan because that's where they're from. Now, I don't know that many people that are native to Los Angeles. I guess I just don't sense, you know, a whole lot of intensity, a whole lot of excitement out there. And you would know better than I would, but the only place that'll even let them have temporary games there is the Coliseum. The Rose Bowl says no. Another team says, you know, that 27,000 seat place says no. I guess my point would be, Shaq, why would they even consider two teams until they're sure one team would work? And I've also heard that they're talking about having people buy tickets and luxury boxes now before they even know which team.
I'm against that.
That's exactly what they should do. If
really?
They want to find out if people, like you say, are really all fired up about an NFL team in Los Angeles, then put your money where your mouth is and buy tickets and buy a luxury box now.
Listen, what do you mean? I couldn't disagree with you more. I get the premise of let's gauge interest, but you can't do it with the unknown. We have to. If it's the Rams, that will be a different level of excitement than if it's the Chargers. Based on previous interests, like you say, there are Bears fans, Steelers fans live out here, but there are plenty of native Angelinos, and if it's the Raiders, then there's a percentage of the population that's going to be really eager to get tickets, but there are a lot of other people that say, I have no interest in buying into these Raiders. It's too broad a way to gauge interest. It suggests that we're children. We'll take anything you have. No, we have refined tastes.
There is a known, Shaq, and the known is that it's an NFL team, number one, and it shouldn't matter which team. Number two, you're a Steelers fan. You're not even going to go to the games. What are you talking
Untrue.
About?
I'll go if it's the Rams. That I'm rooting personally. To my point, I'm rooting for it to be the Rams because then it's an NFC team. I can get season tickets to that and not feel morally wrong for rooting. Yeah, I'm not going to be a diehard Rams guy, but to go see pro football, and it won't step on my AFC loyalty to my team. Listen, enough of this, Tucker. Let's talk AFC and specifically the Hard Knocks team, and we see the big unveil of the Houston Texans, and the headline is, of course, J.J. Watt. Do you buy this? Handsome Hank and some other guys feel like maybe he's authentic, but the overexposure is getting to be a little bit much. Is it crossing a line into being a bit of a put-on, at least from the Texans PR department?
Probably. I mean, but can you blame him? I mean, he's probably the best pure football player in the NFL, and he's almost perfect in every way you want him to be perfect. You know, I think Seattle does similar things with Russell Wilson.
Right.
I mean, these are the faces of the franchise. This is what you want to tout. These are the guys that you want to say are your guys. And if JJ is playing up the image a little bit or playing to the cameras a little bit, I mean, can you blame him? You know, I mean, you think Tom Brady is normally as sort of bland as he is when he talks to the media. He's not at all. You think Russell Wilson really says, you know, go Hawks and is the most boring guy ever?
No, I don't know about that one. He might be. But Tom Brady, as you've told us, chugs beers like nobody's business.
Yes.
So.
I mean, check, everybody, you know, I'm not – when I was getting interviewed, when I was an NFL player, I wasn't totally myself. Look at you. You're not a beard guy. You're
what are you talking about? This beard finally
–
now my exterior finally reflects what I am on the interior. Rugged. Untamed.
You're
don't
a beard
shake your
guy
head.
In Los Angeles in the summer. Right now, you're a fraud. I think J.J. Watt is more genuine than you rocking that beard.
Oh, my God. I'm going to give you the IKE business, and you're my Geno Smith. I'm going to get – me and LeVar Arrington are both coming out to pay you a visit. Last thing real fast. We talked about this on your show, so let's pick up there, and it's a good way to promote your show once again. We had a great conversation about all the range of coaches you played for. It's fascinating. Spurrier and Parcells and everybody else. Something with Belichick. As soon as Hard Knocks started the other night, it opens on Bill O'Brien giving a fiery F-bomb-lay speech, and I really got into it. Why doesn't Belichick have a coaching tree?
He kind of does. They just all fall off.
That's what I mean. I mean, everybody has a successful coaching tree except for him.
Yeah, you know, from my interpretation of that has been that Eric Mangini, Josh McDaniels, Charlie Weiss, certainly Romeo. I think in large part they've all tried to do it like Belichick did it, and I think players see through that. I think you have to be genuine, and I'll give O'Brien credit. I know him a little bit. That's who he is. That's who he was at Penn State. That's who he is. And Belichick's not like that. Belichick's not nearly as fiery as O'Brien. O'Brien is being true to himself.
Oh, really? I'm surprised to hear. I thought that was – I almost felt like I was watching what I envisioned Belichick to be like behind closed doors.
No, Belichick never really raises his voice.
Huh. I mean,
he drops some F-bombs in there, but really rarely raises his voice.
Listen, Ross Tucker – you're dynamite. It's a pleasure to see you once again. It's the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. It's Fantasy Feast. It's College Draft. It's games and how they're going to turn out. You got it all covered, Tucker. And once again, as always, a pleasure to catch up. Let's keep the home-and-home series going at minimum once a month in season. How say you?
Sounds great to me. Just do me a favor. By the next time, shave that thing off your face.
I mean, I don't understand the insults, and now I know why LeVar Arrington took your helmet off and did what he did. That being said, I do enjoy Tucker quite a bit. I don't know what he's talking about. My beard looks terrific, and if you don't agree, you're jealous or shame the devil. All right, that's it for us. Hey, once again, reminder, the big show really kicks into high, high gear next Tuesday. Ike Taylor, Maurice Jones-Drew, Handsome Hank, a bevy of people rolling through Studio 66 as we do full episodes for you in video. Track those down at NFL Now and NFL.com. Make sure you're on the lookout for that. We enjoy the preseason games upcoming here. We'll see you on the other side of the weekend. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.